Josh Bell hates everything.
That's right, including your movie.
Josh Bell hates everything.
Except me.
Hello and welcome to the Josh Bell Hates Everything podcast. I'm Josh Bell, film editor for Las Vegas Weekly. And joining me this week is Ken Miller, contributing editor for Las Vegas Weekly. Thank you for being here.
Great to be here again.
Yes, always again. Some technical difficulties earlier, so we're trying for a second take. It's like a movie. It's we're like talking about movies, and this is like
a dress rehearsal, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah. Actors do this all the time. You got to do it over and over and over again. So we just have to do it twice, and it'll be fine. So anyway, we're going to start this week talking about The Messenger. Which has just been nominated for a couple Academy Awards for Woody Harrelson for Best Supporting Actor, who is, I think, very good in this film. It was also nominated for Best Original Screenplay, which is perhaps slightly less deserved nomination for it. But overall, I think this is a strong film. It stars Ben Foster as an American soldier who has been wounded in battle in Iraq. And so he comes back to the United States and he's serving out the end of his tour of duty, the last few months working in the death notification division that the Army has, where he and Woody Harrelson, who plays a veteran officer, are charged with going out and talking to families whose loved ones have been killed in battle and letting them know that that's happened.
In other words, a super sexy plot.
Yeah, so. Exactly. It's a little – it has potential to be sort of grueling or dour or unpleasant. And I think it's to this movie's credit that it's not. It's not that way. I mean, it's a serious film, but it's not super depressing, and it's not pounding you over the head with a message or with any sort of depressing imagery or anything like that. It's a nice warm character study, I think.
This is one of those movies that if I hear the plot from someone else, my initial reaction is, well, that's one I probably won't be going to see.
Right.
Mainly because, you know, I'm the kind of person who goes to movies to escape, you know, the headlines of the day. So, you know, like going to see a movie like Up in the Air where everything is mirroring the current economy. So, but no, I think the filmmakers did an awesome job with this movie. They took a subject that's probably very difficult to handle cinematically, and they did a very cinematic job with it.
Yeah,
some very good camera work, some, you know, excellent acting by everyone involved. The notification scenes were a bit excessive, I thought.
But yeah, there are a lot of them.
But I think they were trying to establish a tone that, you know, helped the ending to pay off a bit more. And I think the nomination for Woody Harrelson was well deserved, although I think Ben Foster should have gotten a nomination. But he's still a young actor. He's got a long
he's got a long
career ahead of him, a lot of nominations ahead of him.
Yeah.
I think he's definitely one to, you know, that's going to have a very successful career from both an artistic and a commercial standpoint eventually. So.
Yeah, I mean, he's done a lot of good work, and this is definitely a showcase for him, I think, in a leading role. He's had some good supporting performances in like 310 to Yuma and Alpha Dog, a couple movies where he did really well in sort of small parts. And here he really carries the movie. And that's the thing is, like you said, it's a little disjointed. It's a little episodic. I mean, there's a lot of sort of self-contained, almost little stories of Ben Foster and Woody Harrelson going and notifying families. And it gets
and then
a little
– all of a sudden it switches gears and it turns into like a road movie almost.
Right, yeah. He and Woody Harrelson, they pick up these two girls and they're going off to like a cabin on a lake or something like that. And there's also – we haven't even mentioned, but another big part of the movie is Ben Foster's character having this sort of almost romance with Samantha Morton, who plays a woman whose husband has died in the war that he comes to notify. And then they sort of start up a friendship of sorts. And all these elements – get sort of chunks of time at different points, and then they're almost sort of thrown aside for long other periods of time. And it feels like the movie has trouble integrating all of these various plot points.
Yes. I think the scene where they notify Samantha Morton might be probably the best handled scene in the movie. I really appreciated the way that was done. It was very – I mean, it was not a lot happened, but the way it happened was very affecting for me.
Right.
And I really understood Ben Foster's motivation from that point on to get involved with her because, you know, as Woody Harrelson says at the beginning of the movie, this is a sacred task. Here are the ground rules. You are not to make contact with the family. You are not to hug anyone. You are not, you know, to deviate from the script. And, of course, after Samantha Morton's, you know, encounter with them, that kind of goes out the window. But
you
understand from a certain standpoint why he's affected the way he is.
Well, yeah.
And go ahead.
No, I mean, I think that's part of what the movie is saying is that you can't be a robot. You can't be emotionless when they're delivering these horrible pieces of news, that they have to be human beings. And it's sort of that struggle that is a lot of what the movie is about.
Right. And the part played by Woody Harrelson is one that I think in another actor's hands could be a problem. But Harrelson is one of those actors who is able to straddle the line between, you know, the most severe drama and the most almost comedic kind of timing that's required for some of these moments in the movie, and just pulls it off effortlessly. I mean, he's an actor who at this stage in his career, he really can do almost anything and be really good at it.
Right.
I mean,
you go from something like this to Zombieland or whatever.
You see his name and it's going to be a decent movie. I mean,
yeah.
He's a good actor. He's very good.
He is definitely very good in this film. And there are those comedic moments. I mean, like when they pick up those women and they're going and getting kind of drunk and
the scene in the boat.
Right. Yeah. There are some definitely funny moments. And like I said, it's not a horribly depressing, dour kind of like punishing film in any way.
I actually found myself laughing a lot more than I had ever expected. I fully expected this movie to be kind of sitting there, you know, with my hands in my lap, kind of just head down, kind of, oh, okay, here we go again. But it's actually one of those movies where you get involved with the characters and you feel what they feel and you laugh along with them. And it's very well done. I disagree with you. I think the script was actually very, very well deserved of a nomination.
Yeah.
And although it is kind of all over the place in the way it delivers the information, I found myself watching this movie thinking, you know, at Oscar time, had it been nominated for Best Picture, they could have chosen any number of scenes to kind of illustrate this movie, you know, and any of them would have done a good job at it. I mean, it was just very well done from scene to scene to scene.
Yeah, it was very well done. I mean, I think structurally it has some issues. I think individually, though, all the scenes are really strong. I just think the way it's put together overall is a little disjointed, and it could have been maybe better integrated. But I mean, I do like this movie. I think it's a good movie, and I like the way it takes on this issue in a very non-judgmental way. This is not a movie that's trying to make a political statement about the war, either for it or against it. It's really just about understanding the soldiers who come back from the war, and also understanding the loved ones who are sort of left behind by those soldiers, and how it affects them. And regardless of whether the war is justified, it still has this tremendous effect on people, and that's what this movie is about.
Yeah, and my final thought is there's a reveal at the end of the movie that I think makes, at least it made me kind of go back and reevaluate the whole movie through a different type of prism because of knowing what this guy had actually gone through. I mean, it's a very powerful film.
Yeah, it is.
It hits all kinds of notes, and it does it really well.
Yeah, it does do it well. I think, you know, I have some small issues with it. I'd probably give it 3 out of 5 stars, but I do think it's worth seeing.
I think just for the surprise factor for me, knowing you surprised how much I enjoyed it, I would give it 3.5.
3.5, yeah, but definitely something to check out. And then to switch gears entirely onto something probably not worth checking out, I don't think, is...
And sadly, this will probably make more money than the
movie. Oh, absolutely. Getting a much wider release this week and a big marketing push is From Paris with Love with John Travolta and Jonathan Rhys-Meyers. Shooting and blowing things up, pretty much. That's the entire movie. 90 minutes of that. Yeah, there you go. That's all you need to know. But actually, we can take a listen to a clip from Paris with Love.
You know, that really wasn't necessary back there.
Yeah, I know. I just like sticking to the self-righteous little pricks. I think just because they got a badge and a uniform, they can lord over us civilians anytime a boot strikes them.
And you know, we can probably get that drink in any supermarket.
Yeah, I know that too.
So what's the big deal over some corn syrup, caffeine, and water?
Well, the big deal is my secret ingredient, which I could not take the chance that they would find out about.
You mean everything back there was...
You didn't get that.
You know I'm authorized to get you any weapon you want.
Yeah, but not like this one. Because me and Mrs. Jones...
We got a thing going on.
Till death do us part.
And John Travolta in this movie is a CIA agent, I guess. He's a loose cannon. He doesn't play by the rules.
Badass.
Yes. He's bald. I think the shaved head and the goatee and his ridiculous outfit that he wears in this movie sort of indicate his badassness, I guess.
If every cliche imaginable, every action movie cliche is here and spelled out in such an obvious way. And also a little nod to Pulp Fiction that completely falls like a lead balloon.
That's true. Yeah, that was really, really awkward.
Was really, I mean,
shoehorned in there. Yeah. So it's difficult to describe the plot of this movie because there, in one sense, there really isn't a plot. And I mean, whatever the plot is, it doesn't really make any sense. But it does take place in Paris. Jonathan Rhys-Meyers plays. It's hard to tell what exactly he is. He seems to be the aide to the U.S. ambassador, but he is also sort of like a junior CIA agent. And it's hard to tell if he's supposed to be like undercover with the ambassador or it's just he's got a part-time job or something. It's very unclear.
And it turns out it doesn't matter because they chuck that part of the plot pretty quickly.
Right.
I mean, he, in the very beginning, they actually start very intriguingly with him. You know, I mean, okay, he's with the ambassador. He's an excellent chess player. So you're thinking, okay, chess is going to come into play at some point here. You know, his chess maneuvers. And he does these covert ops for someone you're not quite sure who it is, but, you know, but he does these things because he wants a promotion of some kind. And then basically that's gone. That whole part of the movie is basically doesn't even matter anymore.
Right.
And it's just Travolta shooting things up and Rhys-Meyers kind of reacting to it, like, you know, slap to the head, like, what are you doing type thing. I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous. I mean, the
it
whole
is
movie
completely
is ridiculous.
Yes.
The chemistry between the two is never really given a full chance to develop.
Well, yeah, there
opinion.
Isn't any chemistry.
And, you know, the potential for the culture clash is not explored. The potential for some kind of, you know, danger to the characters is never explored. Hermetically sealed is the way I would describe this
yeah.
movie, where you know that there's never a chance that anyone's going to be harmed in this movie.
Right.
Travolta's invincible. He hits a character whenever he shoots at him. You know, dodges every single bullet. You know, no one ever gets away from him.
And there aren't any secondary characters in this movie.
There's no tension in this movie because it's never given a chance to develop.
No.
And Travolta stops everything before it starts. It's just non-stop
shooting of people. And I mean, I think I'm okay with action movies that are kind of dumb, where maybe the plot doesn't make a whole lot of sense, or the dialogue is cheesy, or the characters aren't developed. But the problem with this movie is that it's not any fun to watch. I think you really have to be taken with John Travolta's character and his goofy punchlines that he delivers, and his
and some of the audience were.
Yes. Some people seem to definitely be entertained by this film, but I didn't. I mean, I think my problem with it is that I just don't buy John Travolta as this character, as this badass character. I mean, it goes along with what he did in the Taking of Pelham 1-2-3 remake, where he was the villain in that movie, but it was the same sort of over the top, look at how menacing I can be, and I can, you know, drop all of these F-bombs or whatever, and it's going to be cool. But it just comes off like he's posing, like he's pretending. And if you don't buy into him as this invincible, unstoppable force, then it just is a joke. And I think that was what this movie ended up being, is that at times I was sort of entertained by him, but for the most part, I just felt bad for him as an actor.
Well, it's just there's no structure to this film. And full spoiler alert, I don't really care if I spoil this movie for anyone or not. Because unlike Josh, this is one of my candidates for worst movie of the year. So
yeah, so early on, and we've already got it.
I don't mind if I spoil it.
But
you know, Jonathan Rhys-Meyers is dating this girl who's the perfect girlfriend. Never objects when he goes out late at night. Always has, you know, dinner ready for him. Blah blah blah. And it turns out that she's a terrorist who has been, you know, using him all along. So, you know, the reveal of the movie is that she's going to blow up this function that he's supposed to be going to. And it's handled in about the worst way you could imagine.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no tension. There's no last-minute save. There's just this goopy speech at the end about the nature of love and what it all means. And I was yawning.
Yeah.
I was almost falling asleep through half this movie. I think the reason the audience was applauding was because something finally happened.
Yeah.
You know, and they were like, oh, good, more action, good.
Yeah. I mean, a movie like this definitely shouldn't be boring. I think regardless of anything else, if a movie like this is boring, then it's completely failed to do its job.
Which is hard to imagine because once Travolta enters the movie, the action really stops.
Yeah.
But it's not exciting action. It's just repetitive, boring, and you always know the outcome. I mean, it's just, why watch it?
Right. No, I agree. I mean, I think that it definitely has a lot of problems. And Jonathan Rhys-Meyers, too, is, like you say, that he gives this big speech about love. And that's the problem, is that to sort of counterbalance Travolta's ridiculously silly, over-the-top character, they spend all this time trying to develop Jonathan Rhys-Meyers. And he's all tortured about killing people, and he feels bad, and he has these moments of introspection. And he's just awful in this movie. He has this terrible American accent that's completely unconvincing. And the character is – so anytime the action stops and you're like, oh, now it's time to care about some serious stuff, that doesn't work either.
Yeah. Well, and he has plenty of those moments himself where he's sticking guns in people's faces and beating the crap out of people.
Right.
It's not like he's just some naive guy off the street. I mean, he does his share of
yeah.
But it never seems to be like, I don't know. It just it's a mess.
Yeah.
It's an absolute mess.
It is definitely
a
mess.
And there's a scene where he's wiping blood off his face, where it's supposed to be this traumatic moment where he's like, what am I doing in this business? And it's like, wait a minute, you just saw Travolta blow away 30 guys and this bothers right. you? A little blood on your face? I mean, it's like, what the heck? I could go on, but
yeah,
it really is. None of this holds together. The more you think about the movie, the more it just dissolves.
No, I mean, this is the kind of movie that you don't want to be thinking about. And if you find yourself thinking, then the movie has failed. So I don't know. I did find occasional moments with Travolta kind of entertaining. I would give this 2 out of 5 stars. I wouldn't recommend it, but it's not one of the worst movies necessarily of the year, in my opinion.
1.5 for me, and absolutely.
Absolutely. But either way, I think avoid this film. And then another film to probably avoid this week is one that Ken didn't see, but that I did. And strangely enough, kind of ties into The Messenger. I talked about this in Las Vegas Weekly this week, reviewing both of these movies together. It's the latest movie based on a Nicholas Sparks romantic novel. It's Dear John, with Channing Tatum and Amanda Seyfried as a couple who fall in love, and they end up being separated mostly by the war. Channing Tatum's character is in the army, and the movie starts just before 9/11, and he's about to leave the army. But once 9/11 happens, he decides to re-enlist, and he takes himself away from his true love, and this creates various issues for them. So, I mean, I think as a romance, as a narrative, as a film, this movie doesn't really work. Channing Tatum is a terrible actor. He's completely wooden, and so the chemistry between the two characters doesn't fly. And as things go on, the movie just piles so much ridiculous tragedy in the way of these two people being together. I mean, there's not only is there the war, and Channing Tatum is getting shot, and there's somebody's got cancer, and people's financial situations are in ruin, and Channing Tatum's father is autistic, and then he has a stroke, and
does the family dog die? Is it?
I don't think there was a dog.
Okay.
I don't think there was, but if there was a dog, the dog would have died in a horribly tragic slow motion car accident. So I mean, at first, where I was almost willing to buy into this movie, it just gets more and more laughable, which is a shame, but I did think it was interesting for the way it uses the current situation, the war on terror, and spends quite a lot of time with it, but is not a movie that's really about that. And I mean, this is a movie where you actually see imagery of the Twin Towers on 9/11, and it's used as a plot device, which I thought was interesting that we've sort of reached that point where you can just have that as a device in a movie like this. And it's acceptable. I mean, I didn't find it crass or offensive. It was not the reason that this movie wasn't good. So, I mean, for that reason, it's sort of interesting. And the fact that it has a little bit on its mind elevates it above some of the awful romantic comedies that I've seen this year, like Leap Year or When in Rome. But I still wouldn't necessarily recommend seeing Dear John because it just gets absurd. It just is too much after a while. So yeah, don't check that out, and don't see From Paris with Love. But one thing I do want to recommend coming out on DVD this coming Tuesday is the Coen Brothers film A Serious Man, which was my pick for the best movie of 2009. It was just nominated for Best Picture. I don't think it has any chance of winning, but I hope maybe that'll help some people be interested in seeing it, and we'll check it out on DVD. It's a little bleak. As the Coen Brothers films often are, kind of nihilistic and very pessimistic about the people's ability to do good. And this is sort of a movie about questioning the existence of God. And I don't think the Coens are coming down on the side of God existing, or at least on the side of God caring about anybody.
What a shock.
Yes. So, I mean, it definitely deals with a lot of their similar themes, but it has a really excellent sense of place. It takes place in suburban Minneapolis in the 1960s, and some excellent actors. Michael Stuhlbarg, who's the lead actor, has done a lot of stuff on Broadway, really brings a lot of humanity to the role of this professor who just has been beaten down by all this awful stuff happening in his life. But as terrible and depressing as that sounds, this is also an extremely funny film. It's a dark comedy, but it's definitely a comedy. And the Coens are great at that sort of deadpan sense of humor. And it's just, it's very entertaining, and it gives you something to think about. And it's just, it's an excellent film. So I hope people will check it out on DVD. And I hope it wins an Oscar, but it probably won't. And Ken, again, is indicating that he wants me to talk about Couples Retreat, which in a sort of nice dichotomy is also coming out on DVD this coming Tuesday and was my pick for the worst movie of 2009. But really, I've talked about this movie multiple times. I talked about it when it came out. We talked about it on the Worst Movies of the Year podcast. And I don't think there's anything left to say other than don't see that and see A Serious Man instead.
Speaking of horrible movies, Land of the Lost went on to get, I think, 9 Raspberry nominations.
Something like that. It was definitely a leading.
So if you need more validation that it really is not worth seeing, that should do it for you.
Yes, definitely. Ken is on a vendetta against Land of the Lost.
Absolutely.
And deservedly so, I think. It's not a good movie. But The Messenger is a good movie, so I would say worth checking out in theaters. Rent A Serious Man, that is our recommendation for this week. And Ken Miller, thank you again for joining me again.
No problem. always a pleasure.
Appreciate your patience. And for Las Vegas Weekly, I'm Josh Bell.
Josh Bell hates everything.
That's right.